from This Thing Called Life by Ernest Holmes. A specific mental treatment for definite purposes means stating in your own words and believing in your mind that exactly what you wish to happen is going to happen. A treatment is a definite thing. The mind is affirming a desired condition as though it already exists. Jesus said that when we pray, we should actually believe that we already possess the object of our desire. Nothing could be plainer, more simple, or direct than this. Affirmation should always refer to the present time and not to some state of futurity. Each treatment should conclude as a complete realization of a divine presence as possible. There should be a sense of calm, of peace, and of joy accompanying every treatment. There should be a deep relaxation of the divine presence, but the treatment itself should be specific. In giving a treatment, try to relax mentally and physically. When you do this, you will find something very definite taking place in your thought world. Solid facts become fluid. Obstructions and obstacles seem to fall away. You are, in a sense, climbing a ladder of thought, which perhaps started in dense confusion, fear, and uncertainty. The first step takes you a little above this confusion, and now you begin to climb more easily. There is an enthusiastic elasticity in your step. You climb joyously. You find that you have passed through the clouds of fear, despair, and doubt, and there is light everywhere.
And so our talk this week is on affirmative language and on the power of thought and therefore the power of prayer. And the basis of the idea that thought is creative is that there is only one mind. And I remember when David took Foundations class, that the one idea that really most inspired him was the idea of one mind. That it was really interesting to him, and we talked about it at length, that we are each individualized centers of thought within a single mind. The mind of God, the consciousness of God is all there is. And each of us have a local aspect of that non-local consciousness. And we, through our focus, utilize that same mind that created the entire universe. And we realize things through that focus in our physical lives. And in the Foundation's manual, there is a diagram. And it's got old thought on one side. And how you think the thought, it's a familiar pattern. You think it, 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 you think it. And it goes in a circle and it repeats and repeats and repeats. And it becomes a habitual pattern that creates neural networks that are easily traveled. They are paths within our minds that repeat and repeat and are very familiar. And because they are so familiar, we tend not to notice them. They're kind of the background noise of our experience, those familiar patterns that include very important information like this is who I am and this is where I live and this is what I do and this is my history. All of those are parts of our familiar pattern. But that familiar pattern may also include ideas that are about lack and limitation, fears and worries and angers that we have carried around either from our own experience or that we've absorbed from our mass consciousness. The ideas about as you get older you decline, the ideas about you're going to go into retirement and perhaps need more money or not feel like you have enough. Those kinds of ideas are repeated often and in TV commercials and people use those kind of fears to sell products. They want you to buy what they have, and so they do their best to use the mass media and the power of that through repetition, through music, you know, that suspense music that you hear and sort of puts you on high alert. It reinforces those patterns in your mind that are somewhat fearful, because when you feel fear, you're tending to buy products. So there is in our society a reinforcement of some of those patterns. And it's easy to fall into those patterns unless you know that there is something else you want to think about. You to make a new choice or create a new thought in your mind, which takes you off in a different direction. You lose the circle, and you're kind of creating a new pattern in your neural network that ultimately, if you think it will become a new circle. And then you will be reinforcing a pattern of consciousness that is valuable to you, that is expansive rather than contractive, that is based in truth, is based in knowing, remembering the knowing rather than living in the limitation. And so we're looking for new thoughts. We're looking for ways to access that more expansive thought and to continue to reinforce then those expansive thoughts so that we develop familiar repeating patterns of new thoughts. Because those old thoughts, as long as we're thinking the old thoughts, we're going to get the old stuff. Whatever we're thinking about attracts to us. And so if we continue thinking in the old way, we will continue receiving in the old way. So if we want to receive something different, we need to change a pattern of thought. And how do you change a pattern of thought then? If this is the repetitive pattern, if this is what you fall into when you're not paying attention, how do you change? Well, you pay attention. That's the first thing. You become aware of the thoughts that you're thinking. And one of the ways to do that is to meditate, to become quiet, and to notice that there are thoughts, to listen to your thoughts, to allow your thoughts to become less your attachment as who you are and more a passing wave in consciousness. So most people, I think, at least this is where I was when I started, identify themselves with their thoughts. They think they are what they think. And they think that what they think just is, and that there is no control there. But as you become quieter, as you practice meditation, you become aware that there is a thinker behind the thoughts. And then you become aware that there is a witness to the thoughts. And then it gets easier and easier to become awake to the thoughts and to choose the ones to reinforce, to think habitually, and the ones to let go of. Ernest Holmes talked a lot about denial. And he wasn't talking about the river in Egypt. And he wasn't talking about psychological dysfunction. He was talking about noticing a negative thought and then finding the spiritual truth of that negative thought and denying the truth of the negative thought. So it's a couple of step process. First you notice the negative thought, and then you notice that there is a possibility that that negative thought isn't true, and you look for the truth. And you come up with a higher truth, a deeper knowing, a clearer understanding. And then you specifically say, I don't want to believe that anymore. I don't believe that anymore. This is what is true, and this is what I am going to reinforce in my consciousness. This is what I am going to be aware of more and more, so that I can develop a new pattern of thought around this truth, rather than continuing to repeat something that has maybe been honestly taught to us by other people, but is in in universal perspective a lie, that there isn't enough to go around, that life is supposed to be hard, that suffering is necessary, whatever the limiting belief happens to be, there is a higher truth that says, no, this is not the way it has to be. The experience of humankind is a reflection of the mass consciousness of thought, but it is not the only possibility that exists for us. Divinity of thought is available to us. Holmes said in this book, there is a wellspring of life and perfection at the center of our being upon which we may draw. There is a wellspring of life and perfection at the center of our being upon which we may draw. We are working with that one mind, that one incredible, divine, infinite, eternal, and beyond time and space, entirely mind, of the consciousness of creation. And as we allow ourselves to expand in our consciousness, we can think much more fully within the mind of God. We loose the boundaries of our sense of self and let in more spiritual territory. We open the doors of consciousness and we allow bigger and bigger thoughts to become what we contemplate, become what we choose to think about. And so we don't just talk about meditation in terms of quieting our minds and releasing thought. We talk about contemplation of bigger thoughts, higher truths, greater knowing, more expansive thinking. Because you can't think two thoughts at once. If you are choosing to think about the infinite, you are not thinking about the finite. And so making the practice of thinking about the infinite automatically starts switching you from focusing on the finite. So you allow yourself an expanded thought, and then as you get good at thinking about expanded thought, Abraham talks about how every 17 seconds you reach the combustion point of thought, if it's a pure thought. So 17 seconds, the combustion point of thought happens, and law of attraction kicks in and attracts more thoughts like that thought. And it happens whether you're in a negative spiral or a positive spiral. But if you spend time reading amazingly expansive material, you are immersing yourself in lots and lots of expansive positive thought, then it's much easier for you to get 17 seconds and over and over again to continue to expand and expand in your own consciousness. And you become accustomed to the feeling of expansion thought, expanded thought. And expanded thought feels different. Do you have any words that you would use about how you feel when your thought feels expansive?
Powerful.
Elated.
Elated, yeah. What?
You were my word, but it just sounds so...
Oh. Yay! The word that comes up for me is soaring. That I really do feel. I'm not usually a kinesthetic person, but I've noticed that when I get into meditation and I get into that space of expanded thought, that I literally feel this sense of spaciousness increasing. I feel it in my heart, I feel it in my mind, I feel my body relaxed, I feel more integrated, I feel more whole, I feel more powerful, as Gail said, I feel more blissful and elated, I feel like I'm soaring. And that feeling is so powerful, and here's how Holmes described that feeling. It is not the intellect alone with which we deal. There is a deep feeling center within us. This deep feeling center must be aroused. No matter what the intellect affirms, unless this deep feeling center accepts its statements, we shall not get very far. On the other hand, we may be certain of this, daily and consciously explaining to oneself what you believe about life will gradually awaken this inner feeling to an acceptance of what the intellect affirms. So a daily practice of feeding ourselves expanded thought allows us to integrate into that deep feeling center that is the truth of our being. That, in one way to think about that, is bringing the mind of God expressed as me with the heart of God expressed as me and unifying the whole. It's coming from that place of wholeness where my feeling and my thought matches, where I'm integrated, where I'm powerful, where I'm stable, where I'm centered, where I'm grounded. And all of that is present within me, both and, both locally and non-locally, both temporally and infinitely, both in time and space and beyond time and space, because we are both. We are not one or the other, we are both. And becoming that awareness and living more and more consciously in that awareness is what happens when we choose the new thoughts we think, and then we develop the pattern in a new direction that starts going around and around. And so we're creating this whirlpool effect of conscious, powerful thoughts that we've chosen, the choice of the thoughts. So when Holmes talked about affirmation, he talked about this. He said, affirmation is the greatest and fundamentally the only creative agency in the universe. Everything that is, whether we realize it or not, is some affirmation of life. You are the affirmation of this life as individuality, as personality. This is why your thought is creative. An affirmation is not an affirmation unless it is inwardly believed in. Hence, your intellect, your will, and your feeling must agree with your affirmations if they are to have real power. So we're pulling ourselves through our focus of attention into that deep feeling center that is the essence of spirit within us. It's the wholeness of all being present right here and right now. And finding that place, finding that joy, is extraordinary. The way Holmes said it is, life itself is pure spirit. It's an ocean of unmanifest being whose nature it is to take form. And we ourselves are that unmanifest ocean of being taken form as us. And everything we touch, the glass and the table and the floor and the room, and everything we see is that unmanifest become manifest through some thought over time. We are surrounded by thought become form. And as we want to see the form change, we change the thoughts. It is so powerful to remember that as we affirm, we are creating these new channels of thought that become our new experience. And so the choice to make an affirmative statement is so interesting. And I know when I talk to my clients, you know, I will just feed back to them, you know, what you just said, is that really what you want to live? You know, or do you want to maybe open something at the end of the statement? You know, when they say, you know, oh, you know, ultimately everything always goes wrong. I sabotage myself all the time. It's like, wait a minute. No, okay. Let's start again. Let's try with a new focus and deny that experience in the past, because it is done unto us as we believe. And so we create the focus, we create the stuff that matches that focus, and then our experience reaffirms that pattern of thought. But if we look at it, we don't deny that we had the experience, but we deny the necessity of the experience. Because if we go back to first cause, we can bring something entirely new. And first cause is God. All of this that you see, this is second cause. This is thought in action. But if we go back to that original essence that is the truth of our being, we can create from the wholeness. We can see what's already here, the qualities of God present right here and right now. So one of the things that struck me as I thought about all of this is that, and I read the examples in This Thing Called Life that Holmes described about his own practice, is that we tend to do affirmations about conditions. You know, we write an affirmation about having a new home. We write an affirmation about a new job or a new car. But it struck me as I was reading this meditation we're going to do that we can also write affirmations about the truth of our being. And that it's great to change the way we look at a condition. And that's a really powerful first step. But maybe it's not the ultimate step. The ultimate step would be going back to the truth of our being and affirming the truth of our being and taking from that expanded place then a new truth about conditions so that we go back to first cause. And you know, the magic, the beauty, the wonder, the wisdom of spiritual mind treatment is that it always starts with God. It automatically takes you back to first cause and then into oneness and then into affirmation about being and then into affirmation about conditions and then into the feeling place of gratitude and then into letting go. So the process of spiritual mind treatment includes all of this that we have spoken on. That it allows us to remember where the power is with the Godness that is within us, that we remember that it is within us, and then we allow it, the wholeness, the truth, the beauty to be expressed in life. And we train our minds in the process to affirm that truth. I was just so blown away the day I was meditating on spiritual mind treatment. And I realized that whatever the treatment is about, the process of treatment affirms Christ consciousness. The I am that I am is embedded in the very process of treatment. And if you do treatment every day, you are over years and years of time affirming that truth of being and developing those neural networks that say, I am one. I am whole, I am perfect, I am an expression, the I am that I am, in a positive, affirmative, powerful way, becoming first cause in life. And that is the activity that we will be doing in the second half. We will have more music from Larry, and then we will do a meditation, and then we will work on some thoughts that we have and then think about affirmations about the conditions and then affirmations about states of being that support those changed conditions. Thank you. It's from the book Ideas of Power by Ernest Holmes, and it's a meditation that is about affirmations of true being. And so I invite you just close your eyes and listen. And now for a few minutes, let us practice together what I call stretching the mind. Maybe you've never done it or thought of it, but it doesn't matter. It's a process whereby one identifies himself with a larger good. There is one life. That life is God. That life is my life now. I am that which God is. God is that which I am. I am one with all the beauty of life. I am one with the strength of the wind and the wave. I am one with the glory of the sunset and the beauty of the sunrise. I am one with the songs of the birds. I am one with the mother holding her child. I am one with the babe drinking from the fountain of life. I am that which God is, eternal spirit forever blessed. God is that which I am, perfect presence, divine expanding within me. I am one with the vast throng in the busy street, one with the silence and solitude of nature, and the strength of the mountain and the peace of the desert. I am one with the rain and the snow and the clouds in the sky, the life in the ocean. I am one with the lover, one with the beloved. All are encompassed within me. For now what we are doing is identifying ourselves with the eternal living presence within which all things are. We are one with that. That is what we are. I am that which God is. God is that which I am. Eternal presence, forever blessed. Eternal peace within me. Forever shall I be, encompassing planets and universes and time and space and the heart of God. I am that which God is, O living presence. God is that which I am, eternal in the now, in the here and in this moment. It is so. Now may the light of the eternal God be with us. May that light go before us, surround us, penetrate us. May the love of God and of each other encompass and enfold us, and the eternal peace abide with us forevermore.